I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, Megan, I need your thoughts on something.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana and Katie from Vanderpump Rules are opening a sandwich shop.
Yes.
The name of the sandwich shop is Something About Her.
Yeah.
Now, with all the hoopla over Schwartz and Sandy's, which I didn't have such an issue with that name, what are your thoughts on this name for a sandwich shop?
So, two things. One, I think I was like, huh. But then when you say something about her sandwiches, like, what do you want for lunch? Something about her sandwiches. You know what I mean? Like, it's called Something About Her, but then, like, you know,
you're right. You're right. No, I
but
see
also,
it.
But also, as a female, I do feel like I see the lettering they're going to be using, you know, the font, and it's like very feminine and yeah, like a Nancy Myers movie or something. Like it just,
right.
To me, it makes sense, but it is funny to get a male perspective on it.
I mean, I appreciate it more now that I've heard your perspective on it, but I will say that to me, it sounds a little bit like a tossed away Maybelline tagline. You know, they were like, oh, no, not that. How about we try the other one? But I think Something About Her sandwiches, I do like the pun element of that.
Right.
So, all right, fine. I'm sold on it. Good
okay,
job,
good.
Ladies. Also, Paige revealed something interesting about Craig last week. He eats soup every day.
For every meal or just once a day eats soup? I mean, either is weird, but I'm just trying to understand.
I think it's just at least for one meal a day, maybe in between. But does this make you love Craig more or less was really what I wanted to know.
Well, it depends on the reasoning. If his reasoning is because it's like some sort of weight loss thing, then I'm not into it. But if it's because like soup is his comfort food and like he loved it as a kid, then that's sort of endearing.
There's something about Craig that always draws me in, right? And I think maybe the pillows and some of these little quirks of his I've found charming, but the soup might be where I draw the line.
Why?
I don't, just the slurping and I don't, there's just something about it. I'm like, okay, well, he's not, you know, 90.
Yeah. You can eat hard food still, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so interesting. And I think, you know, Craig is an enigma in some ways. And this is just another example of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are we recapping today?
Well, we have the Summer House premiere, which mm-hmm. I'm so excited to talk about. Real Housewives of Orange County and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, let's get into Summer House because I know we have a lot to discuss.
Yes. What the hell, Kyle? What the hell? Just that is my take on the whole episode. That's what I walked away with.
Okay, counterpoint.
Yeah.
What the hell, Amanda?
Wait for being with him, because then I understand where you're coming from. Or if you're like, she shouldn't have broken his stuff, I'm going to yell at you.
It's gotta be Amanda. Dude. Should I go check on her?
Absolutely.
No, well, I was going to say she shouldn't have broken his stuff, but I think I think at the end of the day, they're both in the wrong here. And it is just very telling of their relationship as a whole, I think. So, but you go first and talk about Kyle and what he did and why you are upset with him.
So we know Kyle has cheated on Amanda more than once. And for her to be so forgiving and to take him back and to, you know, they're clearly in couples therapy, still dealing with the fallout of like what cheating does to a relationship and the insecurity and the trust issues. And am I projecting? I don't know. But I'm just saying that I feel like they're going to be in a sensitive place, maybe forever, especially when it comes to Kyle. Because, I mean, like, part of his cheating was that he was getting so drunk and then, like, didn't know what was happening.
Right.
You know? So for them to come home from the club and her to realize, oh, my God, Kyle's not with us. And then for him to not be answering his phone And they had clearly just had a big therapy session about, you know, this is how he needs to handle himself in a way that makes Amanda feel comfortable. And that just went right out the window. She was completely, and I hate saying this word, but triggered, you know, like completely taken back to this time of feeling like, oh my God, he is cheating on me right now.
And yeah, right.
He is too old to be like that drunk and not be responsible for his actions and his whereabouts and all of that. Like, answer your goddamn phone.
Right. Well, no, absolutely. I mean, he definitely should be taking accountability for what he did. He was definitely wrong for all of that. But on the flip side, for Amanda to also lay out this dirty laundry about this contract that they have and about how if his drinking doesn't improve, then he owes her parents all of this money or whatever. Like, I am just worried about them. I mean, right. Obviously, no, we know that they, you know what I mean? We know they get married. So yeah. It's like, we know what's going to happen. But it's just crazy to me because marriage is the contract. That is the agreement that you guys are having. So if there is a pre-contract to the contract, and in the first night of the summer house, this is going down, then I think Amanda needs to definitely re-examine, is this the right move for her? Because I don't know.
I was in the city and I called my mom and she called a car service and I come home in the middle of the night.
Where was he?
He was just out. They wouldn't come home. We have a whole paper sign that says if Kyle cannot control his drinking and we call off the wedding, that he owes my parents every single penny. That's how serious. Got it. My counter to the pre-contract contract is that that's basically a prenup. And even in Vanderpump Rules, we've seen with both Lala and Sheena, they both got prenups. Well, Sheena did even before the engagement, you know, which is interesting. So that's not completely out of the norm, but I think overall, you and I are on the same page in that there's a lot of red flags here. And I do think that there are some bigger issues that should be worked through before they get married.
Absolutely. And I mean, just from the super tease that was released, it's at the top of this episode, and seeing the way Paige and Sierra talk about what happened when Amanda isn't with them anymore, we know that the girls are going to definitely continue flagging Kyle's behavior throughout the rest of the summer, and also try to show Amanda maybe this isn't the right timing still. And I get that they've pushed their wedding off so many times and, you know, COVID and everything, but honestly, don't rush into something that is going to get be even harder to get out of in the long run, you know. But we know they're together, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, well, on the positive front, my girl Paige, she's living the dream, okay? She is sleeping with Craig. She was having a little thing with Andrea. I mean, what more could a girl ask for? What more could a guy ask for? A gay guy, me. What more could I ask for?
It is interesting that she's seeing, like, you know, I think the way that we all sort of pictured how the relationship formed was that one day they turned to each other and were like, oh my God, like, you know, the person takes their glasses off in the movie and you're like, oh, I finally see you.
Right.
But I guess that's not how it started. It must have started much more just like casually, we'll see, which is probably good, you know, moving slowly versus like, I'm going to give up everything to be with you, even though we've just started looking at each other in a romantic way.
Yeah. I mean, well, coming off of Winterhouse and seeing everything Sierra went through with Austin, I can imagine Paige approached Craig with a bit of caution. I mean, he was in a relationship the whole time they were there. She saw how the, you know, Southern Charm guys can, you know, interact with women. So maybe Paige was a little bit like, oh, you know, I got Andrea going on. I'll hang with him for a bit and then I'll see what goes on with Craig, but wasn't taking it too seriously until she started taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And what's happening with Sierra and Austin? They're done, right?
As far as I can tell at this point in the premiere episode of Summer House, they are done, not together, lingering feelings perhaps, but there is no official or unofficial anything. I think. Okay. But there's, you never know with those two. New girl Maya, fun fact, her ex is Kwame from Top Chef.
Oh.
Yes. Which I did like a little Googling about this. And I do suspect it's going to come out at some point this season. But for any Top Chef fans out there, I don't know if they follow him on Instagram. They may recognize her. But this is the ex she's talking about, which I think ultimately we're going to hear more from her about. Breaking up with him, breaking off their engagement, especially around the Kyle and Amanda stuff.
For some reason, I really thought that fun fact was going to be her ex is my ex. And I was going to be like, what?
I did not date Kwame, just FYI. But speaking of people I would date, my man Carl is looking good, veneers and all.
You love Carl.
I do. And it's like, it's been a journey, which I think for every viewer of Summer House from the beginning, we remember the early seasons Carl and how he behaved, how he treated other people. But now that he has grown and he isn't drinking, he's looking really good. He's a lot more confident without the ego. And right. I think that is what makes the biggest difference for him.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I've never really gotten the Carl fascination, but he does seem like he's in a much better place.
Absolutely. Alex, thoughts on Alex?
I feel a little too soon to tell. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I just, you know, reserving judgment. What do you think?
Well, he's cute as hell, but my eyes definitely glazed over when he started talking about protein and, you know.
Being a fitness professional, I'm more muscular, so I have to eat more to sustain. I usually have like around 12 ounces of meat. I can't really give you the grams, but like, what is that? Like 12 times 3 is 36. And let's add another like 6, that's 42. 42 divided by that. So about like almost like 2 pounds of protein a day, at least.
Okay, why protein again?
Why protein? Because you need it to live.
Oh, God. It's just the most unattractive quality to me.
Yeah, it's just like, I love that you're into fitness. I love that you're healthy. I do love that your arms look like that.
But we don't need to know how the sausage is made. Right?
Just don't make it your whole personality. Yes. That's where I get lost in that. But he is adorable.
So let's talk about Lindsay.
Oh. I always want to talk about Lindsay.
Was really interesting. I mean, obviously you could tell there was something going on with her in the way that at that first night out, she reacted to Carl.
Yeah.
Just being like, what's the deal with your relationship? You're not opening up to us, you know? And then for her to say that she did get pregnant while being with Jason from Winter House and then had a miscarriage like very soon after.
Remember I was talking to you like a month ago. And I was like, something's up with my body. I don't know. It's either like this COVID vaccine is like really f***ing up my hormones or I'm pregnant. The next day I went to the gynecologist and found out I was pregnant.
What?
6 weeks pregnant.
Holy s***. Wow.
And at
You're
like,
right?
Well, so I found out on a Monday I was pregnant. And then by Tuesday night, I was having a miscarriage.
It's wild. I mean, I didn't see that revelation coming. And I almost felt like Carl in that moment, in that I wanted to be like, oh my God, Lindsay, I wish I could have been there for you. You know that feeling of when a friend has gone through something and you had no idea about it. And it was huge and it was emotional and confusing and complicated. And all you want to do is be there for your friend. So I can only imagine how Carl must have felt hearing that news from her. But it may also have been the moment that somewhat rekindled their romance, you know? I mean, that is such a deeply personal thing to share. And I think maybe something sparked in Carl again when he heard that. Like, oh my God, like, this is someone I want to be there for and I want to help take care of, you know?
Yeah. I was really curious. I wanted to know how Jason felt about the whole thing.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get him at all this season, but I would be very curious to hear his reaction to the whole thing.
It's just such a tough thing to go through in general, but then to make it at the very beginning of a relationship, if it was even a full-blown relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's even how Katie and Schwartz talked about on Vanderpump Rules this season, that early on, very early on, she got pregnant and they had an abortion.
Right.
Like, that's just such a heavy thing to put at the beginning of something.
Yeah, definitely. And especially because Lindsay has been talking about settling down and having a family, and it is something that she wants, but perhaps it wasn't necessarily something she wanted with Jason, you know, because it was so early in their relationship. So it's just, the whole thing is really sad. I feel bad that she's gone through that. And I don't know. I mean, now at this point, we know that she and Carl are together. So maybe there's just some, you know, cute little babies in their future. Salt Lake City? Woo! Okay. Back just on the bus.
Just a lot of yelling in this episode.
Also, okay, I know people are probably tired of me constantly defending Lisa Barlow, but...
I mean...
people being you and all of our listeners, I'm sorry to all of you, but I'm also not, because my friends feel the same way. They're like, I don't understand why you love her so much. But the thing about it is... And I do feel like I don't really follow her behavior in this opening scene, because she really doesn't owe Jen any kindness, but she gives it to her. And I kind of wanted Lisa to stay a little bit more upset with Jen because of the way she was acting. It's just, it's not acceptable. And if you continue to let her get away with it, it's just going to keep happening. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I feel like for Lisa to get to the point where it looked like she was about to get physical with Jen, that's not someone you should have around you, you know? Like,
right.
That they can bring that out of you.
Is it?
Yeah, and Lisa has had disagreements with plenty of the women on this show, including her close friend Meredith, but it's never escalated to that point because nobody else pushes buttons the way that Jen does. So for Lisa to escalate it to that degree, it's just very telling of the energy that Jen brings into a space, especially a tiny space like this little bus that they're all stuck on for hours on their trip.
Well, I mean, getting in her face and Lisa having to repeatedly say, do not get in my face. Do not, like, it's just, what are you doing? Especially,
I know.
If your whole argument is, I don't get treated the same way as Meredith. Well, this is why, Jen, like, you can't act like that.
Right, it's because you don't act the same way as Meredith or other people on the show. We also see her continue to act a fool. I mean, she gets to the house, she's throwing champagne in the pool, she's like throwing her weave. She also brought glam on this trip, which I know is something that people were critical of Erica and Beverly Hills and the whole thing and how Erica was spending her money, especially around a time when there were allegations and such, you know, and Jen's circumstances are a little bit different because she is the one facing a number of charges. So I just wouldn't have flaunted the fact that I brought glam with me. You know what I mean? Well, you know, when we get into the rest of this trip, I mean, from my perspective, there is no amount of spiritual cleansing that will save this group.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just now remembering certain parts of the episode and I'm cringing a little bit. Like the whole thing with Mary, you know, just not being on time for this. And I don't even really know what it was.
They did it on Orange County a couple seasons ago. And it's just, I don't know. It's a labyrinth that's supposed to, you're supposed to walk through your emotions and release things that are not serving you and whatnot, you know? I don't know.
Right. So for Mary to be, you know, late and then to just stand on the sidelines, like she can't participate in such a thing, was just like, what is so silly?
It's very representative of, I think, where Mary is with the group on this show and has been even since season one. But I also think that it's telling, because I think Whitney just needs to lower her expectations when it comes to Mary. Mary is only ever going to meet someone where she feels is appropriate. Like, she's never going to meet somebody halfway. Do you know what I mean? And I think right. that is part of being involved in Mary's life, being friends with Mary, whatever it may be. And it seems like that's fine for Meredith, but Whitney can't let go of the fact that Mary is just not working to fix what's broken in their friendship. And that's probably how it's always going to be.
Right.
What did you think about Whitney going in on Mary and Meredith about why they didn't come on the bus?
I thought that Meredith made an excellent point, which is you didn't come on the plane, so like you don't get to make a big deal about me not getting on the bus.
I'm an adult. I make my own choices, my own decisions. If I decide that I want to take a rocket ship to get to Zion, that's on me and that's my choice and it's none of anyone else's business.
Right. I agree. And here's something that I was told years ago, and it's something that I have tried to apply in my adult life, not always successfully, but the phrase is never complain and never explain. So it's just like, whatever life deals you, don't complain about it. Hasn't quite been the case in my life in the last, you know, like, two and a half years.
You have failed miserably.
I do that, a lot of complaining.
I wouldn't want a friend who doesn't complain. Let me be right. clear about that.
Right, so, right. But, you know, great principle, not always applicable. But the second half of it, never explain, is more so about you don't owe anybody an explanation for the decisions that you make for yourself, for your family, for your significant other, whatever. You don't owe any kind of explanation to people. And I think that applies to this particular scenario. I mean, what if there had been something really personal that Meredith was doing? You know, I mean, I think it came down to the fact that everyone expected her to take a little more ownership of, well, I just didn't want to be around you guys. But
right. They really, I think, really just wanted an opening to talk about all the issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're hoping she would provide that. Instead, she's, you know, sort of taking your philosophy of like, I didn't come and that's that.
Exactly. The second part of, I think, where Whitney was just losing me during this dinner was coming after Lisa for not wanting to help fix Whitney's relationship with Mary. And it didn't really make sense to me because what would Lisa gain from that? I mean, she's trying to rebuild things with Whitney. Yeah, she's kind of friends with Mary, but like she has nothing to really do with it. So Whitney's like, well, why is everyone trying to fix Jen and Meredith and Lisa and Meredith and Lisa and Jen, but nobody wants to fix me and Mary?
It feels very Marsha.
Exactly. I was just like, this feels like a reach to me.
Yeah.
What did you think about the way that Jen came for Jenny at this dinner?
Here are my thoughts on this. That Jenny was correct. Yeah, maybe Meredith did hire a PI who looked into everyone. But Meredith was making it very clear that who she got dirt on was Jen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point Jenny was ultimately making.
Right. Well, and it's just interesting because Jenny is learning how quickly Jen can turn on someone who wasn't even against her. You know, it's sort of almost like gaslighting. Like Jen's like, well, you know, why would you? She's mad at Jenny for giving her information that was true.
Right. It makes no sense. Jen makes no sense.
Well, I know that in last week's episode and even the week prior, I think we were both not on the fence with Meredith, but we were just kind of like, what is she doing right now?
Because she's aligning herself with Mary so hard, and it doesn't seem to make sense to either one of us.
Right, right. So that is still true for me, but in this particular episode, I am thrilled that Meredith is finally done disengaging, because we finally saw this scene that was in the super tease from the beginning that I've been waiting for forever, with her being like, love you, baby. You know, who's the fraud? I mean, that was the moment that Meredith needed to have with Jen. It was long overdue. And I think that Meredith is really just trying to be like, you're full of shit, you know? It's just like, she doesn't know how else to say it.
Who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby.
It is also interesting to me that people think that, I guess because I'm thinking about, like, Teresa from Jersey had said that she thinks Caroline Manzo was behind, like, the feds looking into her.
Yeah.
And now, you know, people seem to think that, or Whitney at least, Whitney really seems to think that maybe Meredith called the feds on Jen. It's not like these housewives have direct phone lines to the FBI.
Right.
Nor do I think the FBI would take some call and someone being like, you should look into Jen Shaw, and then being like, oh, well, we'll get right on that because right. we don't have anything else to do. Like, I just don't imagine that's how it works.
No, the whole thing about who called the feds, who told them they were a beauty lab, all of that is just a little bit distracting from what's really going on, I think.
Which is probably the intent.
Well, right, definitely. And I don't think Meredith had anything to do with it. I mean, she obviously has information herself and probably didn't need to call the feds. I don't think anybody needed to call the feds. I think the feds knew what was going on for a little while.
Right.
All right, let's get into Orange County. Can I say something about Nicole?
Okay.
She's giving me Yovana from Real Housewives of Atlanta vibes, and I'll tell you why. She is coming in hot. She is sloppily stirring things up, but ultimately, I don't know if she's going to be able to hang with this group of ladies.
Well, especially because she's like, I don't know if I want to go on vacation with Noella. Okay, well then, bye. Like... You don't get to just miss a vacation. You know what right. I mean?
And that's what makes Yovana different from Nicole, because Yovana went through and went on that vacation, stirred up some more stuff, and then we never saw her again. But Nicole didn't even make it to the trip.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay. So in the swimsuit shop, when Emily and Dr. Jen are both looking in the mirror and Emily's like, it looks like you could be my daughter. I went through this recently. I was going through TSA. I was going through the metal detector. And before I went in, the agent said to me, how old are you?
No
way. And I go, I'm 35. And he was like, okay, come through. And I like looked at him. He goes, I'm sorry. I thought you were like 16. Or no, did he say 16? He said, I thought you were a child.
Stop it.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. Something like, I thought you were underage. I thought you were a child. And I was like, what?
And like, it's like, you, I guess
so short and have like a little body that like, but it's also insulting. And so now I'm like, I don't know. I think I do need a boob job.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a hoodie and leggings.
Oh, see, I think that's very Gen Z, you know? So maybe that. Maybe that also confused him.
What should I have worn? Like my matching blazer and skirt set?
Like an evening gown, okay? Just right. Like really show your age. Some gloves, like long gloves. That is so funny. I thought you were a child. It's like Kathy Hilton. I thought you were Kyle. Yeah. You know how we've also talked about when we watch early cuts of some of these episodes, they are not censored. The bleeps are not there. This was one episode I really wish I had watched an early cut of, because Heather was reading those cards that Noella yes. got Max. And I wanted to know so bad, number one, what was on them, but number two, just to hear her saying all of those phrases.
the careless credenza. One, funny enough, had my name in it, telling Heather. Kind of made me laugh.
Well, and they're obviously talking about Cards Against Humanity,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so do you think that's an inappropriate gift? Because I'm really on the fence about it.
It's tough because if she were 18 years old, I'd be like, no way, she's an adult. It's fine. She is so close to that that I'm not so sure it's that offensive. But
I guess I don't know. Thing that makes me on the line versus just saying it's fine is that it would be one thing if Max's peer gave it to her. I think it's another thing for an older, like an adult, to give that to her. Like that makes it like somewhat a little strange.
Yeah, I think that's more what it is.
I would hardly call it porn. I just think it's like, but she's not, I don't know. I am torn because like high schoolers are watching porn. Like they know all of these things, probably more so than like even you and I do because, well,
they have the internet.
Not us, but you know, some people.
Well, I'm also like, I don't know if Heather has actually ever seen pornography if she thinks that this is pornography.
Right.
There's a big difference.
It's basically pornography.
Yeah. Like to her, porn is like a dirty limerick.
There is so much more there. Oh, that's actually, there's multiple porn references in this episode because Gina also says that Emily riding the horse looks like she's about to get off and like start a porno. And I'm like, what pornos is Gina watching? Because the plot is never that developed in the ones that I've seen. And it's usually just like pretty straightforward and lower budget than a horse on a beach.
Right.
That's just me, though. I don't know. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about Noella and touch on the comment she made last week about Dr. Jen being thirsty.
Right.
Now, I'm into Noella to a degree. In this episode, I'm getting a little bit like, what's going on here? Because first, she makes a reference to Skinny Girl Margarita, okay?
Yeah.
Then at dinner, she's like, oh, rich girl problems, like passport drama, blah, blah, blah.
I can get over it for, you know, my feet in the sand and a skinny girl margarita.
Or a little rich girl problem.
Now, pot meet kettle. Okay, this is thirsty behavior. We just watched you in an interview reference one of the most famous housewives brands, Skinny Girl. And now you're at dinner being like, oh, I have so much money. It's just crazy. Rich girl problems or whatever. This to me is being thirsty. Do you agree?
Well, it's difficult because Skinny Girl Margarita does at this point sort of
transcend.
Yeah.
Housewives. Yeah, that's fair.
But does it still? I don't know. There was a time where it definitely did. Now, I think a skinny margarita, like that makes sense. Maybe she should have just said that.
Right, exactly. I mean, to me, it was like, oh, maybe she's waiting. Maybe she's hoping that Bethany will see that and post about her on Instagram or make a reference to it because that has happened before, you know, on a show when, you know, Bravo Lebs connect with each other or something over something that happens on the show. You know, it just felt to me like it was an intentional reference with the hope that there would be some advantage in the long run, which is kind of what thirsty behavior is.
Right. Right.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too far into it. But it does seem like Heather in the mid-season tease also thinks that Noella is thirsty.
Yeah, I think that where Noella lost me a little bit in this episode, because as I've said, I really like her. I really think that she's housewife material, is that at the dinner at the end, when she finally does arrive in Mexico, her thinking that Heather has put Nicole up to Nicole slandering Noella. And it's like, I don't know that it's that deep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that Heather is going to go and say, now Nicole, let's strategize to make the other housewives hate Noella. I just don't believe that.
It's a little paranoid, unnecessarily, I think.
Right.
And maybe she's just so in the mindset right now of being blindsided by things with whatever's going on with her husband and this divorce. But it just does seem like, is Heather really pulling those strings? I don't think so.
Right.
You know, this whole episode, until the conversation happened, I was thinking Dr. Jen really needs some tips from Heather on how to juggle professional and personal life. And then my wish was granted. Like halfway through the episode, we see them sitting down in Mexico and Jen just being like, here's what I'm going through. And Heather being like, look, you just got to reprioritize, move some things around, figure it out, and it'll all be okay. Because I think Jen really does want to make some changes in her life, but doesn't really know how to do it. And I think someone like Heather, who is so able to juggle a million things at once, she could be a real helpful resource for her.
And not only that, but has the perspective of being the spouse of a doctor. And yeah. So like what she expects out of that relationship, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Okay, so my rose was knowing that Danielle from Summer House is still with Robert because I thought that they were such an adorable couple.
Oh my God, I know. And they were going on a year at this point. I think they're living together now. I don't know if they were at that point, but she's talking wedding bells, engagement, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Cute.
What's your rose?
So my rose is, I'm going to give it to Heather Dubrow because we did a text messaging Q&A with her on Bravo's new platform Community. And she was so delightful and so professional. And she shared some really fun tidbits about how she met Terry and her favorite pizza toppings. If this is something that, you know, our listeners ever want to do a Q&A with a Bravo celebrity, you can text us at 917-809-2240. What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Vanderpump Rules in the finale. Okay, so like all of this drama around it coming out that Sheena and Brock were going to get married at James and Raquel's engagement weekend, which is like such a faux pas. But then at the very end of the episode, James is like, you know, Brock, you're just ruining the whole night. Like, I want you to leave. So Brock tells Sheena, you know, I've just been kicked out. And Sheena's like, well, I wasn't kicked out, right? And she stays. Her partner, her fiance that she just got engaged to has been kicked out of a party. And she's like, but like, I can keep partying. Yes. It's just, what?
What did he say exactly?
He said, get the F out of my party.
But am I kicked out too?
Hey, but you can stay. It's not you. Like, if you want to stay, I would like you to stay.
Listen, Sheena's going to Sheena, okay? At all times.
Right. What is your thorn?
My thorn is from Porsche's Family Matters, and it's essentially Dennis being in the hot seat all season long. When I kind of wanted more accountability and maybe clarity from Simon and Porsche and what happened there, I just felt like, I don't know, everything that Dennis did to Porsche kept coming up and things from his past. And I understand that that all does need to get cleared up so that they can co-parent and move forward and everything. But I don't know. I really was hoping that we could dig a little bit more into the timeline of Porsche and Simon.
Right.
Overall. We'll be back with an all new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.